Don't stare at someone while they slumber. It's not, it's not a choice.
And I'm Gabe. And
we're
the Ghouls Next Door. Talking about spooky stuff.
As we've been known to do.
Like being haunted by some demonic presence since childhood. And then having your partner make fun of that. And then rile up that entity at your expense. And then like laughing at you when you're like, please stop. Don't do that.
The real, as you said, we were texting about it, the real villain is the boyfriend, is Mika. He's a menace. He and Toby are in cahoots. Like, they have to be working together. Like, I want Paranormal Activity 10, or whatever one we're on, to be the origin story of Mika and Toby signing a deal. And then, like, it being destined, and then some sort of, like, really wild Paranormal Activity time loop that they have to, they clean up the plot point in the mess.
Clean up.
Yeah, clean up in quotations. Yeah. Maybe incorporate some, I don't know, Zoom, because it's modern now. You know,
everyone's working from home. You know?
Yeah, but now it's Paranormal Activity game.
You know? Yeah. We're talking about Paranormal Activity, the franchise, which is very robust. There are seven too many movies, and that's the case. It's
fun.
I don't like. We don't need to. We didn't need to do any of this, but we did. And we covered Paranormal Activity in the way, way, way back machine of the Ghouls. It was one of our first episodes. It was like episode like 12 or something.
Oh God. Yeah. We were babies.
Yeah. And it was about found footage. It was not great. I haven't listened to it. And I request that everyone else does not also listen to it.
Yeah.
But we did have some fun on social media at that time, making our content to kind of promote it. So there's like a video that if you're watching our YouTube, you can see the video. So I'll put it up of Kat coming into my room and just looming over me as the demon likes people to do. In paranormal,
like love to stand time. Next to bed for no reason and just watch
people sleep. That's doing something. I'm sure.
It's creepy. That's true.
Loves an audience. Loves an
Twilight
audience.
Twilight tried to make it cute. It's not cute. It's super weird.
Yeah.
Don't stare at someone while they slumber. It's not. It's not a choice. But we recorded videos and we also like did a bunch of really just like wacky things. Like I still have a picture that we burned to look like the picture in the attic. I need to find it, but I still own it. And then also we had like the video where you were showing me, we like staged our own Paranormal Activity where you like had, you're like, Kat, look at this. And we're like,
yeah, you were like, it's nothing.
Super cheesy and dumb.
It's so good. it's so good in our very gloomy apartment that we were in.
Windows.
When we were talking about that episode, I will say what a good part of it is we were talking about found footage, which is one of my favorite sub genres of horror, which I've said a million times. I think I talk about Ghost Watch, which was one of those original, like the BBC. It was like a British television like news program that was doing like a Halloween special, and then they staged like a whole haunted thing that no one knew about. I think we talked about Orson Welles and War of the Worlds. You know, like the history of just pumpkin just punking people.
With
content. In Blair Witch, I know at one point we talked about Blair Witch for Witch's episode, and we talked about the theory that the boys were there to murder her the whole time. So Paranormal Activity sits in like a, on a shelf of like horror that I appreciate because of its impact on the horror genre. Like it unlocked or like reignited found footage in a way that we hadn't seen in a very long time. So like we had those things that led up to something like Blair Witch, which was amazing, which one day we could do the Blair Witch franchise because there's also like three other films.
Oh,
Blair Witch 2 is absurd.
I've seen the one. I don't know if I've seen any found footage,
I think is the big thing.
Oh,
it's not found footage after the first one. Or at least the second one wasn't. And this one was like, it just reignited it. I watched it, the first one, in theaters. It was one of those where the trailer didn't show anything from the film. It only showed audience reactions.
I remember those making the rounds,
yeah, it only showed people like, in like the theater and the popcorn, you know? And I had to sign a petition because I lived in a really tiny, small town. I had to sign a petition and get all my friends to sign a petition to get it to come to our theater because like, it wasn't airing anywhere. And so I remember going to see it. And on top of that, we had like a big group who were going to watch it. And not all of us could go in because of its rating. So some folks were under 18 or whatever. So it like they weren't allowed to come in. So like they had to go watch a different movie.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it was like, it's such like it's a core memory for me. I don't know. But I remember watching in theater and it is a very sleepy film. Right. Like nothing happens really. It's very like not until nighttime, and then it's very little things. Like it starts with like the door moves and you see like a shadow, and eventually like the blanket moves or they put the powder on the ground, and then eventually starts like, you know, the presence starts making itself known in the daytime. And as it like I just really loved the slow burn. And when it got to that ending, I remember being like in my seat, like up, like in the theater, I was like pounced up on my seat, like, what's going to happen? What's going on? And then when she, like, when that ending happens, I like lost it. I was like, this is amazing. It was the best film. And it was a film that once it came out on like DVD, I got it from Netflix. Back when they would send you the DVDs. Because I always got a horror one. So, like, you know, my uncle would get, like, a fantasy or sci-fi. My aunt would always get, like, an action film. And then I would always get a horror film. And so, and it would be, like, this communal thing we would watch together. I remember making my aunt and my mom watch Paranormal Activity, which already was a big deal because it, like, deals with like demons,
like, and she's like in a religion,
like a presence is coming. Yeah, is coming for you, and that's something that really always stressed them out as far as horror was concerned. So that one, I remember them being, you know, bored and kind of lulled into that false sense of like security, where it's like, oh, this is nothing. And then when it started amping up, like after the Ouija board, they were like, oh no.
it's a demon, now it's scary.
they were like
regular ghost, lame demon.
now it's a problem. It just like, I absolutely get like people hating on it. I totally understand. It is quite boring. I just think for the time period and the fact that it was all filmed in Oren Peli's house, it was filmed for like nothing. Filmed for no money, and he got so much back. He got an entire series because of this film that he just made with some folks in his house, right? We have primarily two actors, with the occasional the medium
sister.
No, the sister never shows up. Oh, there's a friend that shows up for a moment, and then there's the medium, psychic, whatever, who comes in and then is like, And then he's like, you have to go get like a demonologist, but that never happens, right? So it's, yeah, there's like four
I am people not, that's above my pay grade. I can't fight the demons. That seems like, if death is possible, no.
Yeah. I also thought it was such an interesting thing because when you have a film like Paranormal Activity, which is supposed to be like based on a true story, it's, you know, playing it up to be, this is real. We found these tapes. Mm-hmm. And when you have something like that, I always think about the actors who are in it, because it's like the people from Blair Witch can never be in anything again. You know, like I never see the actors from the Blair Witch Project on anything else, right? They, mm-hmm. as far as we know, were real people and they died in the woods crying.
It's not coming out of their mouths. Like they have to find someone unassuming. Like, you know what I mean? Like no one who's going to be in the blockbusters. They don't, they want you on purpose to not have a lot of acting experience so that the audience will believe you when you say like, oh, these people don't exist anymore.
Yeah. I also like how they use their real name. So it's like she's Katie and her name is Katie Featherston or whatever. And that's her real name. Mm. And Mika, that's his name. So it's like, that really is him. And so if people didn't know or something, they would do it. I'm trying to find... There was, okay. So the girl who played Katie mostly is known for the entire franchise because, as we'll discuss when we get through these films, the first one, totally fine, tells a great story, concise, beginning to end. We don't need anything uh-huh. else. But then they decided to make a second one and it fudged it all up. And so then they had to make five more films to make sense of the mess of that the second one made. And then they continued to make more messes as they went. So they just had to keep, and the, like they were answering questions we didn't have and then making more questions while trying to answer things that didn't need to be answered. So it ends up like Katie ends up in the majority of the franchise. There's a few films where she doesn't show up and, or like as a child or an adult. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there's parts of there where I'm like, that would be totally fine. Mm-hmm. When we keep bringing them back in, I'm like, why do we have to do this? Like, who is this demon? What is this? Whatever. But, she was in a show that only had one season, though I thought it was really, I thought it was amazing. It was called The River. It was also starring one of the actors from, Across the Universe.
Okay.
And it was like this, like, it was also found footage, I believe. And they were like in the Amazon and they're on a river and they're trying to explore things. And there was one part where there's like a tree that had all these doll heads on it. And it was like, they were messing with stuff they shouldn't be messing with. Classic. And I was like, she's great for this role, but I recognize her immediately. And you know, it's like, you already, like at that point in her career, we knew she wasn't really a demon getting out on camera. But it was still for me like, look at her doing it. Of course, the show did get canceled, but anyone wants to unearth The River and find it for me. I enjoyed it from what I remember. So
there.
What about you, Kat? What was your experience watching the first Paranormal Activity?
I'm trying to remember when I first watched it. Like it's unfortunately not a core memory in that like I cannot recall. I had a friend who in like middle and high school, I watched horror movies with a lot. And I want to say my first instance of watching it was probably with them, but I have no recollection whatsoever. I only remember watching it the first time we did for, when we did the first version of this episode. Mm-hmm. And I think it holds up. I think it's still very scary. And it's like, I actually didn't like hate the other ones. Like the plot obviously made no sense.
Yeah.
But I think I actually was able to turn off my brain a little bit and not media analysis it. And that made it a lot easier to just be like, yeah, it's wacky. What's this demon doing? That's so crazy. Why would they do that? I don't know. I wasn't like invested enough to have a strong opinion in terms of being mad about it. Like, I don't think I'd be like on the internet forum mad.
Yeah.
But I think
like, no one's talking about it. It's really upsetting. More people should talk about it.
Yeah. We need just like the red string and like to connect all the dots and then have somebody explain it. Cause there's definitely a lot of stuff that they introduced and then left off. And then it's like, they kind of just expect the audience to just be like, okay, cool. Yeah. I love that. And it, I mean, I did. So it was successful with me, but I definitely can understand like other people would be like, I don't know, what were you doing, friend? But I agree. They definitely didn't need to keep bringing this, like, Katie and Christy. What's the sister Christy? That they introduced in the second? Yeah, and they kept making that the center of the plot point, which, like, the thing that was definitely more interesting was the demon. Mm-hmm. Or, like, demons in general. The fact demons exist, like, why does it just have, like, all of the movies, like, we like marked ones a little bit more. Just because they brought back what was scary about the first one and that it actually felt more like found footage. And yeah. Also, you didn't have like this one family that this demon is obsessed with. Like, it, you still get that towards the end, but you have more of a just like, this is scary and it's happening to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Because in this world of demons, like, they would not be obsessed with just one family. Like, if demons exist, they're going to be messing with a lot of people. So, and what made the first movie scary was really just like the buildup and the jump scares and the focus in on people not believing them and not so much the weird plot points that they decided to introduce in the second one. So I feel like, yeah, it's like the first one and then marked ones. And then the rest of them were just silly, but fun, but maybe didn't need to exist.
Yeah, I think it, any of the Paranormal Activity films thrive in their simplicity when they get like, when they're just getting creative about staging the camera or doing really subtle things. Like, I always get really excited about trying to see things. Like, mm-hmm. you're watching a screen and you just like focus on it and you're like, is that a shadow? Did that just move? Is that the wind? Like, you know, that is really exciting. That's why I like, Haunting of Hill House, like how there's always like the ghosts in the background, super exciting for me. Insidious, like seeing, like trying to catch. Is that Insidious?
Don't we get to watch Insidious soon?
We will watch Insidious soon. For real. It's okay. Either Insidious or Conjuring. One of them has like, because I get a mix up. It has, they both have Patrick in it. So why is this room? But they have, you know, I think it's Insidious. Yeah, and there's like the little boy in the corner, and you're like, you know, like that's very exciting to me.
I'm pretty sure it's Insidious too. Someone in the ether is like screaming at us in the other dimension, in the ghost dimension. They're screaming at us. Yes. Being like, you should know.
I can't wait.
You've been doing this Insidious. How long?
It's gonna be really fun. But yeah, I agree. So, for folks who are unaware, which I totally understand. This is a film from 2007 that, if it's not your thing, you never would have bothered with it, and that's okay. We watched all of them. All of them.
Every single one.
Every single one.
They were all
so you don't
long.
Have to.
You don't have to
do
it. You
never have to do it.
You could watch the first one, and I liked the third one. That's the one where they're back in time, right, with the kids. Mm-hmm. I liked that one. Because when she ran into Toby, that ruined my whole day. Like, that was so scary.
Really good, yeah.
So, like, they're fun.
Yeah.
But also, you don't have to watch them because
we did. We did, and you can just listen to this. So, in the first one, I'm about to go down to the rabbit hole of plot.
String.
Yeah. Just, like, plot holes and why did we do this to ourselves? Because it's going to, Yeah, I lost my mind the first time we covered this, so we'll see if I can retain it this time. So in the first one, we have a great flawless story of Katie, who she comes home, we see her in a little car, and her boyfriend, Mika, has this big camera, and she's like, why do you have this big camera? Like, what are you doing? And it's very clear that, like, he has this fascination, like, he brought this camera in, he's trying to document something, trying to capture something. And then when we start to learn what it is that he's trying to capture, it immediately paints him as a villain. Like, they like, what about this scenario? Like, she is finally, you know, come clean and explain to him that her whole life she has been haunted by some presence, and that her childhood was like severely like ruined because of this presence. Her house burnt down, all of this stuff, and
lots
now it's
trauma.
Back. Right?
Yeah.
And he hears that and goes, great, let's catch it on camera.
Yeah, which, like, what a fun time. Goofy, haha. Like, your trauma isn't real. Like, we need to something big is happening here. The best thing that's ever happened in his life is, like, the worst thing that's happening to her, which is just super rude.
Yeah, and it's also, like, it definitely seems like it's coming from a place of, like, he doesn't fully believe her, which absolutely I understand. But when things start becoming very clear, he never takes it seriously. And what's worse for me isn't just that he, like, continuously antagonizes this being, but he still puts all the blame on her every single time. He's like, you brought it in here. You didn't tell me. And she's like, when was I supposed to tell you? Like, on our first date? Like, oh, by the way, sometimes there's a ghost after me. Like, because the whole time she does think it's like, she just knows it's a presence. She thinks it's a ghost. And every time she tries.
Remember it's a demon.
Yeah, and every time she tries to get help in certain ways, he sabotages her, or he, like, really pushes for her not to do it and instead continuously does things to rile up this presence, which, again, is why, as Kat mentioned, I have this theory that I really do think that Mika is working for this demon, because it doesn't make any sense. Like, his reaction, like, in our rewatch, his reaction every time she mentions, like, trying to contact the demonologist, he, like, gets really rude about it. And there's no reason for it. Like, he's, like, offended and, like, aggressive about that's the last resort. It's like, okay, but you're gonna bring a Ouija board into the house to talk to the demon, but I can't bring a person whose literal job is to know about them.
There's like there's like this mimicking that we get from, like, Toby being inherently misogynistic and gross and Mika being inherently misogynistic and gross, because multiple times he's like, you're my girlfriend, no one's gonna do that to my girlfriend, mine, so you have to do what I want to do, even though, like, she has no, like, she's literally being victimized by this demon who was, like, horrifying and taunting her and, like, making her life horrible. And then he's like, you have no control to fix that. That's my job. You're mine. You're my possession. Just like Toby thinks that Katie is his possession. So they're the same and they're both gross.
Yeah. And also it's like, I'm taking your trauma and I'm like, I'm getting something out of it. Like, I'm getting something out of, like, continuously traumatizing you. And that's like, there's so much wrong with that. And there's actually, so a few years after Paranormal Activity, there is a film called Paranormal Entity that came out that's almost verbatim the same film. It has, like, the powder on the floor, the demons, but the demon is revealed to be an incubus. And it's a family, so it's like a brother and sister. So the sister is being plagued by this. And that dynamic it's very fuzzy because I have not seen it since it came out in, like, 2010 or something. But I just remember it feeling a little different. Like, I sympathized with her a lot more, and the ending was significantly more horrifying. It's one of those ones that, like, is forever ingrained in my brain. That,
I can,
like,
see,
I could
it
hear,
right now.
Yeah, I could hear the scream, and I can see just, like, the moment that ending. That, like, if that happened in something like Paranormal Activity, that was, like, blown up, I think we would have had an entirely different series, like, franchise, come from it if it had that ending, or there's an alternate ending where Katie, like, slits her throat, right? Like, okay. That sounds like a demon would do that. And we would have had a different story. We would have absolutely had a different story, because what can you do with that?
Yeah, we wouldn't have had this, like, weird family lore for seven movies.
Seven movies, exactly. Yep. So in it, Katie tells Mika, hey, there's a presence that follows me. And he's wants to record it. And he sets up this nice camera. And generally, like, what I really enjoy about the first one and what I was appreciating about the marked ones from later is that we spend a lot of time very mundane with these people and we learn about them. Like, there's, like, this is not a very long film. And, like I said, not a lot happens, but we learn, like, what, like, Katie's in school. We learn that she, like, makes jewelry and she has this friend who makes jewelry with her. She got her little car. Like, we know Mika's obsessed with technology. They have this ridiculous house in California. Right? Like, there are these little things that I really just appreciated, their, like, getting a glimpse into their life that felt really authentic. that we kind of get. In the second one, we definitely get it. The third one, I couldn't tell you anything really about their dynamics. It's actually very confusing. The fourth one, snooze. That family does not know each other and does not care. The marked ones is the fifth one? Or is that the... No, the fifth one is the dimension.
Ghost dimension, yeah. And then marked ones.
No, it is marked ones and then the ghost dimension.
Ghost dimension's after.
Ghost dimension, also super confused about who that is. And the next of kin, whatever. So... Yeah, so in Paranormal Activity, she finds out. But the thing is, as they're recording, and like we said, it's a slow burn, so it starts with little things. There's, a shadow, and a blanket moves. Katie will get up and just stare at Mika at the end of the bed.
Yeah.
For reasons.
First it's pretty chill, and you just get, these very light hints of ghost. But then the camera specifically seems to give them more power. I don't know. It seems like a theme. Every single time they introduce a camera, the demon gets stronger.
Yeah. I think it's also giving it attention is the specifics of it. Because Katie, on several occasions, will mention not to give it attention, which is why it's why did this happen? Why did you do that move?
Why does everyone keep making these choices? Who keeps giving the men cameras?
Yeah. Giving it attention seems to get it excited, and now it wants to tell you about it's what it could do. So we see they put powder on the floor, and they see little three toed kind of footprints,
because he's a demon, he doesn't have five.
Yeah, it leads to the attic, and they find a picture of Katie when she was younger, school age, and it's burnt because it's supposed to have been lost in the fire of the house that she mentioned. So we get specific lore, right? And this is where it's important to understand. So the story that we're told is Katie tells this to the medium who comes to check out the vibes. And he's like, your vibes are off. Somebody else got to deal with these. These are bad vibes and they're not ghosts. And that's not my deal. So
yeah, I don't deal with demon vibes.
Bad demon vibes. No, I'm not qualified. So she tells him when she was younger, her and her sister used to feel like a presence in their room, but that it specifically sought her out. And that it was always at the foot of her bed, and that always made her uncomfortable. And then it built up, it pent up until the house burned down, and luckily everyone got out safe. Those are all very important lore that we learned from Katie.
I wasn't in this movie, Gabe. There are no demons haunting me.
Katie. Her name could be Kat. From Katie, and we're like, yeah, that makes sense. That's totally fine. I believe it. I believe that's real. There are some really cool when they come back from the... It's one of the times when they start doing things in the daytime, and he's like walking around the different rooms, and the TV turned on in one of the rooms, and then he's like, she's freaking out, and she's like in the hallway, and she's like, it's here. Like, I can feel it. And then you see like a brush, because she's like, it's breathing on me, and you see like a brush of her hair. And that, I was like, that's amazing. Like, subtle things like that were so perfect. Mika brings in a Ouija board, which the demon and Katie are both mad about. Katie storms out. And all of her arguments are so valid. Like, honestly, she should have just said, you clearly don't give a fuck about me. And this action has proven that. And he keeps being
the theme
is... I didn't buy a Ouija board. I borrowed it, which we learn... who it's borrowed from, because that was a question everyone fucking had. And it aggravates Toby. Or just he loves the attention and he sets the board on fire.
Yep.
We never learn what it said. Not that I think that really matters. And then it kind of erupts into this thing where the last night, or before the last night, Katie gets dragged out and she's just gone, and he has to go get her, and eventually he does, and she has a bite. This is important, and she immediately kind of changes her entire mood. Because at first she was like, we need to go. Like, even though it follows her, she's like, we just need to leave. We need to leave. And then she gets bit and she starts acting funny. And she's like, you know what? We're fine.
Yeah, we don't gotta go anywhere. Like, why would we ever leave?
I think everything's fine now. I think everything's fine. And he's like, that's weird, but okay. Like, clearly something is up. And he just, he never asked for help. It's such a man. And he just, like, he's like, sure, yeah, whatever. And he lets that happen. And then, of course, she, like, gets up. And then she walks out of the room. And she's downstairs. And she just starts screaming. And so all we, because we're just the camera, Mika, for once, doesn't stop to grab the camera first in an emergency, though he has done that previously. He leaves it there. He runs downstairs. The screaming stops. And then you hear, like, the thumps as, like, coming up the stairs.
Yeah, you gotta stomp if you're a demon.
Yeah. Well, so you know they're coming in the presence. And then Mika gets thrown at the camera. And then Katie comes in. She's all, like, bloody and...
Yeah, she got a bloody tank top similar to this. Yeah. So hers is like a little lower down.
Yeah.
I just had a bloody tank top ready, so I just wore this
You need to when you're in the goals. Yeah. And then she like crawls on the floor and she like smells him. And then she like comes to the camera.
Make sure he's dead by smelling him.
She just comes to the camera and she smiles at the camera. And then we get the text. It's like, oh, they left. We don't, like, Mika's body was found on this date and Katie was never discovered again. And it's like, ooh, spooky, where is she? What's she doing?
Yeah, like, what's she doing?
Oh, no.
The demon got her. Where'd they go?
Yeah, right? And that's great. That's perfect. And that's where it should have ended. And instead, we get a second one, which features Chrissy, Katie's sister. We do get to see Katie. It takes place, spoilers, before the first one. So that's an interesting situation that happens. And... So it's before, and Chrissy comes home with a newborn baby, a boy.
Yeah.
And she's married to a man who had a daughter from a previous relationship who is a little older. She's like a teenager. They have a ginormous house. I don't know what anyone does. He's in like security or something. He has a huge camera. The reason they have cameras all over their house is because there was a break-in. And I'm not sure if I rewrote this in my brain, but I feel like the break-in, the only things that were missing were the VHS tapes.
Yeah, I believe it was the tapes and, like, just something very minuscule, like, very minor. Like, she was like, I have jewelry. They didn't take the jewelry.
They didn't take TVs, nothing.
Yeah, because, like, Katie comes and delivers the tapes. Like, that's something that happens at the beginning. And yeah, I think they just take the tapes and they're gone now. And for whatever reason, they took them.
And for whatever reason, they were there. Yeah. So we learn about Katie. She has a son. And so because they were broken into, they set up all these cameras, which I thought was really fun.
Yeah, it's a good reason.
I think they're great. And then we also get like a camera in like the kids' room. They could have played more with the baby monitor. Again, that's something that not Insidious. And is it Insidious? There's a horror movie where somebody has a baby monitor in there.
And that's part of the scare.
Yes. And I want to say it's Insidious, but it's not because that kid was bigger. But it's the same actress.
Yeah.
She's there. She's in my head. she's in a lot of horror movies too. She's really good at it. Anyway, so similar to the last film, things start slowly happening. So... there's this one thing where there's like, they have this pool cleaner and every night it ends up back outside of the pool, even though no one took it out. And the dad like always just throws it back in. He just assumes that someone had taken it out. You know, they have a, live-in like nanny, cleaning person who is Latine, and she immediately is like, the vibes are off. the vibes are off. We need to cleanse this place. I got some sage, man. And they're like, oh no, brown people stuff. We can't have that in our house. They eventually kick her out.
Immediately are like racist. It was really weird.
Well, they're just like, you can't do that in front of the children. And like, I get it because they don't believe it. But there are some really interesting things that happen. I really like, there's a scene where the daughter is home with the kid and like she does a Ouija board with uh-huh. her boyfriend, and it gets out of hand. Turns out that's where Mika borrowed the Ouija board from.
Yeah, you see how it connects.
That was important. We were all wondering where it came from. Integral. We learned that. So the lore that we're sold in the second one is that actually it was Chrissy who's always been haunted by this demon. And that when they were children, it was Chrissy that the demon was really fascinated with. Yeah. And that something happened to Mom. Even though in the first one, Mika mentions, like, oh, the vibes would be really off if, like, your mom came over, right? Yeah. So who's that?
I think it's the grandma. I think the grandma played off as the mom. That's my theory. You're saying I'm giving the film too much credit.
She's too old for him to be like, yeah, that's your mom. No, he would have said grandma.
You don't know. People are older.
I don't believe this.
All right, I'm giving the film too much credit. Yes. But you start to see the plot holes in the second film. And in terms of spooky things, it's very fun. You know, like, in terms of scary stuff happening, fun.
Yeah.
But the plot points that they introduce didn't need to happen.
Yeah. It also isn't that fun. Like, it's actually kind of silly.
Yeah.
I will say, like, when all the stuff in the kitchen falls, that was fun. Yeah. When Chrissy gets dragged down the stairs, great. That was fun. Yeah,
and when she comes back all weird.
Yeah. But it's, like, it's like, when the kid gets dragged, that was kind of silly.
It was very silly,
It was sad when the dog got hurt. Unnecessary. Yeah. Yeah, and then, like, the ending was so, like, really? What are we doing?
Yeah, I think one thing that was interesting about it is, though, like the audience knew something scary was happening because we're seeing the cameras, but the people in the house weren't until, like, some time had passed. Like, they were just like, oh, it's really weird that the thing comes out of the pool or that, like, things are moved or there's sounds. But, like, no one's really thinking about it that hard and no one's, like, watching the tapes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not till, like, things start to, like, escalate, which is, I found interesting because if they're not watching the tapes, are they giving the demon attention? So I just thought, I was like, how are they getting stronger if they're not even looking at the tapes? Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting as a plot point for it. But
I know that the daughter is fascinated. The daughter is interested because the daughter communicates with the Ouija board. The daughter looks at the tapes because the daughter sees what happens to Chrissy. Yeah, so the daughter does a few things with communicating. She's the one who watches the tape, notices something happened to Chrissy, even though Chrissy has been saying the whole time. Yeah. Chrissy was like, something is up. Why did, like, every morning you have to throw the thing back into the pool.
And then Katie tells them to not think about it anymore. And then she's like, we don't talk about it. It wasn't real. And then, like, really gives the daughter a hard time when they're just trying to, like, help.
Yeah. So when it starts to amp up, Chrissy reaches out to Katie and essentially asks, like, hey, do you remember our childhood when things were acting up? Hey,
do you remember that trauma?
She's like, don't talk about it.
Yeah.
You just don't give it any attention. And she's very, very adamant about it. And she even mentions, like, if you do that, then you'll end up like Mom. And it's like, what do you mean? Mom's fine.
Yeah, where's Mom?
What are you talking about? What happened to Mom? It's so weird. Like, there's so many things. Like, it's almost as if, like, the people who made the second film just, like, heard about the first one.
Yeah.
And, like, then they decided to make this whole franchise. And they just,
fun because they don't the remember same the first actors one. And same people making it. So it's just funny.
But how do you, like, I can't, like, this is such a, they have never done improv because this is really like a, actually, this is what happened.
Not a yes and, it's an actually.
Like, actually what happened it was actually me who had the demon on me, and, like, our mom got hurt, and it's coming after me now because it wants, here's where it gets really sloppy, because they're like, we motivation, really need an explanation for this demon. And the only explanation for a demon is a cult of a coven of women who are seeking wealth and power. And the way that they get that wealth and power is by making a deal to give up their son, the first mm-hmm. son in their line. And what, how lucky have this entire line of women been that they've only made girls. And yeah. so the first girl to be born, or boy to be born in here, is this young one, Hunter. Yeah. Chrissy's son. So he's coming. He's ready to get his price.
To... The demon's like, yeah, I have receipts. Yeah. Dating back over 100 years. Please produce me an heir.
Yeah. And for me, I'm like, what did you get? Because, I mean, yeah, they have nice houses.
Well, they have this giant whatever, house. Yeah, I guess but that's wealth.
How, isn't that his house? Like, I don't see where she does. The grandmother does have a huge house, but it's like, for what? Like, what are you getting? Anyway, yeah. So they established this. The daughter finds this out. She looks up on the internet and she's like, Google. Well, turns out all demons exist because they do an exchange for a firstborn son. Everyone knows that. This is what classic. The internet has said. And now I know. And then she starts to plead the case to her dad, and he's having none of it. He's the least interesting person. And she's even like, hey, like, our, like, this woman who was taking care of us was trying to tell you, and you just dismissed her. And now Chrissy's all messed up. And they somehow, so they invite her back. She tries to cleanse the house. She's like, no, the vibes are super wrong now.
Yeah, the
now
vibes
they're
are
like
worse.
Irredeemable.
They're bad before, now they're gone.
And somehow this lady knows that the only way to get rid of the spirit is to pass it on to somebody else. And you can only pass it on to a blood relative.
Yeah.
And he says something like, Katie's the only blood relative left, but that's not true.
Yeah, they could have given it to the grandma. It's like really weird that they would go that way with it. And it's also like, one thing that's like rude about it is that Chrissy doesn't know that they did that. They're just like, we're going to save her and we're never going to tell her that this happened. So like when everything's normal and you get like what happens at the end, like, that wasn't even her fault because like she would not have done that. That's mm-hmm. her sister. She, mm-hmm. she cared about her sister. She would not put demons towards her sister if she could help it. Mm-hmm. But like they made that choice and were like, it's fine. We'll live with it. And they don't, they die.
They die with it. But that's also the question too, is like, where did they get this information from? Because if the whole thing was that there's a deal for this firstborn son, then why would transferring it even sound like that makes sense? Because they don't want this. They don't want Chrissy. They don't want Katie.
Yeah, they want the kid.
They want Hunter. So now
they're gonna go get Hunter because they want Hunter. They don't care how they get it.
Yeah, it just ain't mathin'. And that's the whole thing, is like, there's idiots. It doesn't make any sense. And I don't know why they introduced this sloppiness that we didn't need. But because of that, now we have like this alternate history of what their childhood was. After they pass it on by burning the picture, so it didn't burn in the fire, even though it was lost since then. That doesn't make any sense because they don't even burn the picture completely. They just burn it a little bit. It's so weird. It's so silly.
Also, like in the third movie, there's no fire.
Yes. Yeah. So the end of the second film, which again is a prequel, we learn they pass it on to Katie. And then later Katie is saying like, oh, some weird stuff's going on. And she's like, Mika's excited about it. He's like going to film it. And it's so weird. It's such a weird reaction for her to have in the same film where she was like adamant and aggressive to Chrissy to not do anything.
Yeah. Like not talk about it, not film it, not give
this
it attention.
Like an hour ago in this film.
Like,
that
she should
like,
have known.
No.
Like, yeah. It was not good character development because like the whole setup was made. Katie was so adamantly against it. And then to just like immediately go back on that didn't make sense.
Yeah.
As plot.
Yeah, exactly. So then Katie, we learn what happens to Katie if you watch the first one. And then she ends up, so when she left the house after murdering Mika, she ended up at her sister's house and she just like snaps dad's neck. She kills everybody. Well, except for the daughter. The daughter was out at a friend's house conveniently. And she kills Chrissy and she takes Hunter and she disappears. And then we get a screen shot that says these two have been missing for forever. And we're like, okay, yeah. Cool. Then the third one is another prequel, which is like a pre-prequel. And
prequel to the prequel.
Yeah, we go back in time to when Chrissy and Katie were growing up. And this is where we learn, like, what happened. It's super, like, when you have a film that's in the past like that, it's hard to keep things, like, time-based. Like, there are some, there's a few things that they slip up on because of the time period and, like, what would have been available and isn't available anymore and the way things are portrayed. But we learned...
The fact-checker didn't succeed.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, M&M's Yeah, there's... The internet's petty in this specific instance. But yeah, there's like the kids get like blue M&Ms and those weren't invented until like, or like made until the 90s or something. And it's like, wow, okay. But stuff like that, silly stuff like that. And, but we learn essentially the story confirming what we heard from the second one, which is like Toby is definitely, Toby, we learn, is the name of this demon. Never in my life. I heard of a demon named Toby, but sure.
It's really silly, yeah.
Oh, so funny. And he's her imaginary friend, Chrissy's imaginary friend. And at first they're fine. We learn that their very hot mom, very hot and young mom, has this boyfriend who's not their dad, because they refer to him as his first name.
Yeah.
So, but I don't really know what his deal is, but he's there.
And yeah, I think it's their stepdad in some way.
Yeah. And he is a videographer. He does, like, weddings and things like that. And so, for some reason, he starts filming in the house. I don't remember what his motivation was.
Yeah. I don't believe they really gave... I think it might be to, like, catch weird stuff happening after they kind of get this introduction to Toby. As well as, no, what it was is he got a camera to film sex stuff. And when they're filming the sex stuff, it has an earthquake, and the earthquake captures dust that's, like, taken the form of a humanoid thing. And then he is sold. He is intrigued, and he starts setting up cameras around the house because he has them, because he's already been taking videos for his, like, film business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, that makes sense. He, yeah, that was pretty cool.
And he was nice. I didn't, like, of all the men that I've seen thus far, he was, like, pretty chill. He was, like, a sweet guy.
Yeah, and he was trying. The whole time he was trying to tell them, like, hey, something's going on. Although he does, like, play it up quite often. So, there are some really amazing, scary things that happen in this film, which is the only redeemable part of it. Because, again, it continues to mess up this plot of, oh, there's a cult and the girls are being, like, groomed to have an heir that this demon wants. And I don't really, I don't get any of it. But it's a very sleepy film. with, like, these moments that are really honestly great, like, some of my favorite horror moments happen in this film. So one, I remember when he puts the camera on the rotating fan. Oscillating fan. I was like, amazing, this is the best thing I've ever seen in a found footage horror film ever, because it's like, you know, the pacing of, like, you're waiting for it to come back around and you're like, ah! And then it goes back and nothing happens. And then you're like, ah! And then something happens right before you move. And then you have to wait and really test your patience. It's amazing in that way. That was really fun. I love the, like, sheets thing. When they mess, when Toby messes with that babysitter, amazing. Right. Yeah. And as it amps up, it amped up way more interestingly than in the other two films. Like, it definitely brings its A game, which is kind of funny because it's like, did Toby, like, get old and tired?
<He's> like,
really slowed down on his spookiness.
You know, these girls my whole life and I'm tired. I'm ready for retirement.
I'll open the door a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm gonna open the door a little bit. I used to, like, throw people downstairs, but I'm just gonna open this door a little bit now.
Yeah.
It's like that too. Like, why do we have to keep the same ghost this whole time? Why couldn't it have been something different? Because, like, now it does seem kind of silly, right? Like, yeah, it has this history that just waits around sometimes. But it has the oscillating fan. It has the little dust thingies. I will say one of my very favorite moments is when stepdad's partner, like his like business partner, is watching the kid, was watching Katie because Chrissy got hurt.
Yeah, they took her to the hospital. She had a fever.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, she had a fever. So they bring Chrissy to the hospital. The parents do. And so he comes over to watch Katie. And of course, Katie's like, let's do Bloody Mary. Because this whole time, Toby's been happening to Chrissy. Which also contradicts what happened in the first one. Because Katie is, like, very adamant that she also was experiencing this. And though she does experience something, but later, it's not the persistence and, like, the insidious, like, nature that she was, in like, insisting on in the first one. Like, it doesn't even care about Katie. So it's almost like Katie just made herself to be a victim later or something. Like, it's, it's so weird. Like, it's actually about me. Yeah, exactly. So she's like, let's play Bloody Mary and you have to do it. And she also like makes up the rules for Bloody Mary, which is fine because she's a kid and that's believable. And I will say her, the child actor for Katie was amazing in that scene. Cause they like, you know, turn off, turn on, nothing happens. And the guy's just like, oh, silly. And she like gets mad, like you're not playing it right. Like kids do. Turn it off and they're chilling. And then he is scratched. Like he's been hurt, which is interesting because it's like, how come he didn't get possessed? Where did he go? He's just gone.
I guess you have to be bitten, not scratched. It's so, it's weird. It's such weird. What like, are these rules?
So, but what I really love is like the scenes where he's like, he opens the bathroom door and you see like the shadow go by and it throws stuff and it's like the shaking. And he's like, his panic is so real. Like it's severe. Mm-hmm. Like his voice and he's just like, and it's such a genuine performance of like, I'm afraid and I'm trying not to be.
For this
to
kid,
protect this kid. And she's like, she's also panicking in such a brilliant way. And his, like his performance for me made the whole movie. Like I was like that scene. I was like, wow, this give him an award. I don't know. Like, and he, it's just that voice and he really, really sells it. And then he's just like, we gotta go. I gotta go. Which is funny. Cause like up until that point, he's been seeing these films. He's been seeing the evidence that has been collected and kind of laughing it off and like thinking it's cool and like, I'll keep going. And then the second it happens to him, he's like, we gotta go. But he never says like, you need to get your kids out of here. He never said like, he protected that kid and he just leaves it. He just goes. He's just like, I can't, for my health, I can't be here anymore. But like you and your kids, you'll figure it out.
Good luck, friend.
And it also makes me mad because this is one where the mom refuses to watch anything. And she doesn't, she knows nothing, which is insane because she should have been affected.
As indoctrinated, It seemed like the grandma was heavily indoctrinated because that's like a whole theme. And then also the girls, like in their childhood after this all takes place. So it's just really weird that they would just kind of leave the mom as a throwaway character, considering like there's this generational cult of women that like are participating in this. And then also just like that, like she wouldn't, why would they just be so chill with killing her? You know what I mean? Like I get they're like invested in this cult, but don't they need members? Like it's a recruit. You know, you need numbers. So it's just really odd that like, that one, she wouldn't have been playing a part in the story of this whole dynamic. And that also they just like didn't care that they murder her.
I also would say like, she's still of like childbearing age. As far, like, and as far as we know, like she didn't say something like, oh, after Chrissy, I'm not able to have kids anymore. You know, she and she has a new partner who could be someone who wants kids of his own. Like that comes into play in life. So I think it's real because she's like young. She's a young mom. And I think like that's what also what's bizarre because it's like you still have a chance. She still has a chance to make a boy. She could, that could happen by accident. OK, it's the 80s. You know, like the birth control isn't as good.
Yeah,
if she's even doing it, you know, like it's not as like, you know, so I just think like that's weird. That's a like a whole, the complete just like disregard for this woman, because she's like forgotten. She has the one sexy scene in the beginning and then she's forgotten. She has like the things all fall from the in the kitchen again, or for the first time, and it's a prequel.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that, and then she refuses to watch the films, which was, or like the tapes, which was aggravating to me, because if she had seen the tapes,
she would have seen like,
Katie hit an invisible force. She would have seen Katie go into the room and the door close and not be able to get out, and that it wasn't Chrissy this whole time.
Yeah.
She would have seen like the hair get pulled. Like she would have seen all that. She would have seen the babysitter and why she ain't coming back.
Like, it's just weird. Yeah. That like she had like no interest in knowing, like, and without like any of that, I guess like the assumption is she also had like similar traumas in that, like when she was younger, she could have experienced something to this effect.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like working with them, but it didn't seem like that. It seemed like she just straight up did not know and did not want to know.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was a forgotten person, which is like really weird. And like you said, so we learn that they try to escape the house, and we know that it follows you anyway. But even in that, like we learn, because there's like demon imagery that we find that somehow is related to Toby, I guess. And grandma's like deep in this cult of this coven of witches, and they kill the dad in a gruesome way, and they throw the mom downstairs, like the demons throw the mom downstairs, because whatever, like, and I'm just like, why? That should have been explained. And then there's no fire. It's such a weird, it's just a lot of weirdness. And I was like, why do we need that? Why did we need any of this? It gets like, it really gets a like totally into that field at this point. It just jumped the shark. And then we get arguably the most frustrating one to exist. This one really, like, I am like banging my head against the wall trying to find an explanation for this other than like we just wanted to make another one, you know, like there's just, it's,
and we wanted to do fun 3D effects that didn't need to exist at all.
Yeah, well, no, the Ghost Dimension has the 3D effects.
Isn't that the fourth one?
No.
Oh, no, you're talking about the Xbox 360. Okay, yeah, yeah. That one also, super dumb, did not need to exist.
Well, nothing happened. So in the fourth one, we are no longer with Katie's family. We have left. We're with a new family. This girl, and it takes primarily place, like, on her computer where her, like, friend watches her sleep. So weird. It's like her, she's always on her computer, you know, kids these days. And they also have like security cameras. She has a Xbox Kinect, which has the green dots that would map where your body is to understand and play your games. And so they have one moment where they have fun with that.
And then it's just like always on, which I feel like is super weird. Because it's like blinding green dots. Like, wouldn't that bother you?
No, it's not always on.
At night, the dad's like sleeping in the living room and the Xbox Kinect green dots are everywhere. And it's like, how is he just sitting there in the living room with this on him and not irritated?
I don't remember that. I always thought it was the TV that was on. Because there's a scene where they're like the one scene where we see like a shadow go by and it's registered with the dots, similar to like the earthquake with the dust, is because they're playing with it. They were like all dancing around, and then we see it go by the kid. But in this story, we have this young girl, and she has a younger brother. I forget what his name is in it.
Wyatt.
And he is adopted, and that's important. And there's this creepy kid that lives across the street, who's like there at the Little League game or whatever, soccer game. And then he's like around. He's like a weird little boy.
Yeah.
And he, what was his name? Like Calvin or something. I forget.
I don't think it was Calvin, but it was something like bland.
Yeah.
It was an unforgettable, memorable name.
Roger. Yeah. Or something.
Which like they wanted it to be
Rodney.
That.
What was his name? Oh my god. Well, it turns out this child, Robbie. Robbie. We learn that Robbie's mom has had an accident or is sick and had to go to the hospital. So the mom, the main character, Alex, her mom takes this kid in to be like, I'm sorry, like, you're, I'll take care of this kid while you're
aware. Your neighbor's community.
Yeah. And of course, this kid is weird and is like hanging out with Wyatt and drawing symbols on him and like teaching him weird things. And all the while, like, little stuff starts happening in the house. But it's like very like, it's so boring in a way that was like different from the first one, because I don't feel anything for these characters. I don't care. I never see the parents. And the few times that I did, like, there's one time where the mom's like cutting a pepper and she's watching a video, like, because the camera, like, the camera's through the computer. She's watching a video about cutting peppers. And that is the craziest thing. Like, what grown person is just watching a video about cutting peppers? Like, you've never cut a pepper before.
She might not have.
That's crazy to me. Like, and you, how do you just not know what to do? Like, you just cut it. Like, it just seemed really weird.
Maybe she was looking up, like, Julianne versus, you know.
But it's like, the video's like, peppers. Like, oh, red peppers. Sometimes people think red peppers are hot. But they're actually not. It's so silly. It's a, she's like cutting them and she gets distracted, and then the knife zips up to the ceiling and she like comes back and she's like, where's the knife? And that's the part where I was like, I feel like, girl, you know, many that's times I put something down and I'm like, what seriously could have happened? What could have occurred between the moments where it's was here and it's not time, here? Like, honestly, people make jokes about like an ADHD, like if there's a ghost and like someone with ADHD just like thought they're leaving all the cabinets open. I am, that's 100% it. So when that knife went missing, I was like, girl, that's just how life be sometimes.
Sometimes life goes missing. Okay.
And then like later the knife comes down, it does nothing and no one cares. But what really is frustrating about this one is the reveal. So what we learn is like Wyatt is actually Hunter, who was Chrissy's son, that Katie had murdered an entire family, her entire family, to get this child, to then lose the child, acquire a different child, to then get in, to get back to the kid so that she can get Hunter back. And this is just bonkers to me because it's like, okay, maybe you need him to be older. Why do we kill the family if we needed him to be older, right? They weren't doing anything. Second, you have a whole coven of witches. You could have took care of him. It's bonkers that he just like, how did you lose him? How did you lose a whole kid? And how did you acquire the strange kid to then get him? And then we forget about the kid. The kid is gone forever. Robbie
just vanishes. And it's also like, if that is Katie's like actual son, then why do they need Wyatt or Hunter still? Like, why do they need him?
You have
a new son, and this son seems really down to be demon friend. You know, like, he knows all the tricks. We're like, Hunter is like so devastated by this. Like, he did not want to go to do demon time.
It's so weird.
I also don't like the dynamic that's like, you shouldn't trust the weird kid, because like weird kids need friends, and like half the reason weird kids are so sad is because everyone just like ostracizes them. And this is like, if you're scared of anything, I don't like that they like demonize this child. It's not his fault.
Yeah,
he's weird. Like, this isn't his fault. This is his life. And he gets no like happy ending or like Robbie vindication. And it's like, also it's like, how rude, you know, to this kid. And yeah, I just think it's like one of the, another instance of media just kind of like making it so that like, you're not going to trust the weird kid.
And yeah, the kid was a little different. And
it's, I was a weird kid. I pretend to be Donnie from Wild Thornberries for a whole year. You gotta be nice to us. Because we'll be sad otherwise.
And it's like, I can tell that they thought they were, like, they really had some, like, gotcha moments. Because, like,
a dumb movie,
when they revealed that Katie was Robbie's mom, right? Like, so she goes over to the house and Katie's fine. And she's like, oh, hey. And we're like, oh my God, that's Katie. You remember her? And so you think you're led to believe that Robbie is actually Hunter. And then is revealed, like, Wyatt is out there telling people he writes Hunter on like a board. And they're like, who's that? And he's like, that's me. Yeah. It's like, but why? And they never explain. They never explain who Robbie is. It's so sloppy in that way. And so there are theories, like Kat was alluding to, is that there's theories that Katie had been pregnant when Mika died, when she did the murder. And that in having Robbie during that process, clearly she's not cool. Although she's like, so like, especially in that, she seems fine. She seems like she could totally pretend to be cool. But something happens where she ends up losing custody of Hunter. Although it's like, why wouldn't she be arrested? Like, if there are people who were there enough to get Hunter from her, how did they not know he was Hunter?
And they were looking for her. Like, I get it. She moved to, like, a different state, right? That's, like, the whole thing.
Yeah, but, like her...
It's the 2000s. They communicated at this point. The internet existed.
It's so bonk. And you know the cops had seen the tapes. Like, why wouldn't they watch security tapes of a house to know what happened to a family that was murdered there? Yeah. Come on. You know, we know that Katie got the kid. Anyway, so... And that's the other thing that people suggest is maybe that they're like, oh, she gave him up so that they wouldn't find her. And it's like... She could just go somewhere else, first of all. Second of all, she has another kid. They would just think he was a kid. They thought
was Hunter, because that's like the whole thing. It was a literal tiny baby. Like, you could not.
It doesn't make any sense. It's so infuriating.
That different.
It's so silly. It's very silly. And the deaths are silly. And like, Katie's just like power force, like murder. And she just like grabs a leg and she just drags him in there. And it's like, you know, like trying to be like the zoned out walk that she does. And it's so goofy. It's incredibly goofy. The father has all like three lines and they're very bad. He's not good at acting, and that's why they didn't give him any lines. The mom, too. Yeah. Both of them, terrible. That's why they never got any lines. like, Alex, her shoulders must hurt from carrying that whole film, and it was a bad film, so bless her heart. But that's where we leave the family, right? They took Hunter back. She ends up at the house, at Katie's house, and Katie's like, full force running at her, and she got like demon face because like I guess that's what she's like now,
and there's all the witches we meeting there,
like, yeah, so it's... she like Alex like jumps out a window or gets pushed out a window, and when she's in the backyard there's just like hundreds,
a swarm
of coven witches, which is like, where do they all come from? Who are these people?
Why they make all Robbie do this when all of them exist? Like, clearly they have a network.
Just take the kid.
Is in full. Yeah.
Why do they have to do any of this? They could just take the kid. They could just
wants them to murder the kid who's the daughter. The whole thing is that they want Hunter to murder a virgin. Like, that's another thing that they bring in as a plot point, which is super weird.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't even do it. They kill her. Like, the witch coven.
We don't even know.
Kills her. We don't know.
It just, like, you know, fades to black, that kind of thing. But still, it's like, there's...
They didn't need to do a lot of it. Like, I guess, like, Toby just likes murder, but they didn't need to murder the family. They didn't need to murder the boyfriend. Like, none of these people were doing anything to really stand in their way, except for the sister.
Yeah.
All the other people, like, were just so uninvolved.
And then also, you're going to murder them anyway? Why did we do any of this when we could have just went in, murdered, and, like, took her and then been like, Wyatt, kill her? You know, like, because... Does he need to have had, like, an emotional attachment to a virgin to then murder her, and then it's evil? Like, I promise you, murdering just is evil. That's it.
Yeah, it was... None of it needed to happen, because exactly, like, they didn't even need to put him up for adoption. They didn't even need to set up this whole plot. If they're just going to take him back, and, like, if they're going to, as you said, if they're going to murder them anyway, why waste the hour that was this movie and just murder them right away? They've been living next door. You know what I mean? Robbie didn't need to do any work, and he shouldn't have had to.
Yeah. You know, he wasn't getting paid, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it doesn't need to exist. That was from 2012. Then in 2014, we got The Marked Ones, which takes us away from the Featherston family, which is like, thank God. And it really shines in that way. Like, we have these just Latine boys. You spend a lot of time just living their lives. And, like, he gets a new camera because he just graduated. And it's cute. It's so cute. Like, he really learned to care for them. They feel very authentic. They're very fun.
Yeah, the acting was good.
Yeah, I loved, like, his, like, Abuelita. Like, she was amazing. Everyone was amazing. Like, even, like, the gangsters or whatever were, like, chilled. It was, like, we understand, yeah. We respect, right? And it's, like, you still, I really bought into, like, these are young boys. They're coming into their own. They're having fun. And then things just happen. And so, like, there's a bruja downstairs in their complex who is, like, shady things. They call her bruja all the time, which is a witch in Latina culture. And she ends up dead, and it's tied to, for some reason, the valedictorian, which I guess, like, if he was a valedictorian, so that's a status symbol that he might have acquired by doing witchcraft with her, right? Which is, it sucks, because then that just disqualifies any hard work that he did. But could be what it was, right? So he did witchcraft with this lady. She ends up dying for reasons. There's also, like, when they peep in on her, she has, like, a naked woman in their house, and they're painting and stuff on symbols, each other. So and then later they do find pictures of her with the grandma, and I'm like, you tell me this bruja, and, like, that's in it, like, LA or whatever, has some connections to this, like, Karen. Like, this Wiccan... These are two different religions. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And I don't see where this woman who lives in this, like, complex is getting anything
from being a witch.
From being in this coven the way that grandma was. Because grandma had whatever she wanted, right? Like, she had a huge house. She had, like, everything. Like, what are you getting, lady? You're doing all this work. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But the kids get involved, and then, like, you know, we start to see we don't really see a lot of spooky things, but things are happening to the kids. They start communicating. They use the Simon Says thing.
I thought that was very cute. That was cute. It's not a Ouija board. It's a different way to communicate. Yeah,
because they would not have a Ouija board. Even still, when the Simon Says starts talking to them, the grandma's like, no.
Yeah, we're turning this off. We're done. Absolutely not.
We did it. It's over. Like, we're moving on. And that, I felt, was very genuine. The kid starts getting powers. That was weird. And then we learn that, like, the bruja had all these pictures in her house, like, in the basement. It's weird that she has. Well, she had, like, an underground area. She has all these pictures of, like, firstborns, and she has pictures of him, and the pictures of the grandma. They got pictures of Katie. They got pictures of the sister from the second one. They connect to the sister from the second one, and she's like, yeah.
Yeah,
there was a demon they wanted Hunter because he was the first son.
I really don't mind talking about it. It's pretty chill.
And then I'll leave. Whatever.
Yeah.
Let me just go. Like, he didn't really do anything. He gets weird. He's, like, possessed. He does have a bite from a dream. And then it gets really weird. Like, it kind of spiraled out at the end when they were trying to stop him. And then he, like, ended up in that time vortex. Like, they, like, tried to exorcise him with an egg. And then he, like, zapped out of existence and then came back, and he was like, and I was like, what is happening?
Time travel. What's going on? Back, right?
Yeah, and then Jesse's, like, running. Is it Jesse or Hector's running?
Jesse and Hector,
Hector's characters. Running in the basement, and he runs into the two girls, and, like, listen, if I was in a basement somewhere and there's two little white girls just behind a clear sheet thing, like, I would also be looking it the other way. Because it's, like, either this is, like, their possessor haunted ghosts. Two, they're kidnapped and I am in the place. And I'm a brown person in the kidnapped place where these girls are. I'm gonna be the criminal. Right? Like, there are a multitude of reasons why we need to evacuate the premise right now. So he's, like, running, and he ends up back in time to the first one where we see what happens, because everyone was wondering what like, we, you know, it was a really good is when you really play on, like, suspense, and, like, you build on what we can't see in a film, and then you just show us what we didn't see.
Yeah. Later. And then make it dumb.
Five movies later.
It's like when
later.
They show the big bad. Like, I always feel that in movies where they're like, there's something scary happening and then you never see it.
Mm-hmm.
I always get really mad when they show me, like, this one, like, really goofy looking monster that I didn't need to see. I was already scared. But now I'm like...
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah. That's how I feel about most Dean Koontz, like, supernatural books. Because he's really good at suspense and, like, really playing it up where you're like, you feel dread. You feel terror.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God, what is it? And then he's like, it's the blob. You're like, get the fuck out, Dean. What, are you fucking kidding me right now? I did not just read 800 pages for you to tell me that it's the blob that has lived since prehistoric times and is in the sewers. I'm not doing this.
I didn't need to know the answer, yeah.
And still a great book if you just ignore the ending. Anyway, that's exactly what it is. So he somehow time travels, because of course, and he ends up in the past. Yep. Which is the first film. Is this a prequel? No, it's a sequel, because he was in the future
from the first movie.
So he ends up back in there, and what happened was Katie's downstairs and she's just screaming, and he's like trying to talk to her, and then Mika comes down and he's like, "Who's this man in my house? Who's this brown man in my house?" And then he tries to attack him, and then Katie just stabs Mika. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, so that's what happened. Now the world's better.
I feel like something has been fulfilled within me. Yep.
You know what? That is definitely the answer I've had, the question I've had this whole time.
Yeah, that's
you know,
specifically. What was happening when she started screaming, Gabe?
I was like, what happened, Mika? That's what I keep coming back to. What is any of this? Anyway, it would have been great if we just didn't even involve the girls. It could have just been like, sometimes other people get haunted too, you know, and that would have been brilliant. Then we get 2015, a year later, we get The Ghost Dimension, which as we saw last week, there was just a plague upon cinema when we had 3D capabilities. And so this was the film that was like, we're going to be 3D.
And so, it was horrible.
Yes.
I hated it. It's one of my least favorite ones. The fourth one and this one, I was like, I hate it. Why did it even need to exist? It's so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And like, also, it's similar in that, like, you build up all this suspense just to show me this weird, warbly, monstrous thing. And I'm like, also, then, like, if that's, as you said, you texted me this, like, if that's what the kids have been seeing this whole time,
they're not going to be
friends
with that.
Why would they want to be its friend?
Yeah.
It's terrifying. If I ever saw that, I would never stop crying. And I would think I would put myself away.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
So the Paranormal Activity Ghost Dimension is a sequel where we have a whole new family again.
Uh-huh.
With this... guy, and they move into this house. They have a young daughter. They have
they're
a friend,
okay.
And they have a neighbor. Everyone's all
I
up in their
brother.
Business. Maybe it's a brother.
Brother.
Yeah, the brother, and then the neighbor, who's there. They get this house, and we learn later for an amazing impossible deal in an amazing impossible neighborhood that wasn't even on their radar. But they got it. They got this great house. It's huge. It's amazing. And they have this little weird daughter. And man, what was her name? It was like, her name was kind of annoying.
I'm trying to remember.
Oh, it's Leela. They have this young daughter. She's really little. So they find in the house tapes from... Uh-huh. Katie and Chrissy's childhood.
The tapes they were stealing in the second one.
They were stolen and put in this house. And then they also find this camera, but it's a very bizarre camera that doesn't have the workings and functionings of a regular camera, because these people would know they do camera work.
Yeah.
Fun fact, this got a 15% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's very fun.
That's a really bad rating. That's hilarious.
And so in the story, they have this weird camera that picks up on things. So it's a weird dimension camera.
Uh-huh.
Who gave them the camera?
It's doing warbly things.
Who gave them
the
camera? Why is the camera here? What is that for?
It's because really... the house is a deal and they put it in there for them to find.
But for what though? Like, what is I just it's so that their so kid weird. Could
open a portal through time,
but you could have did that without this weird camera. The camera but helps
then it's
him.
Not Paranormal Activity, Gabe. Then it's I just, not. I know. They it's need so the cameraman. They need
I will the say, with the cameras. The camera was cool because it did do some cool things, right? Mm-hmm. But it was always like, they were like, okay. This is like with every franchise we've seen so far, it gets to a point where we reach a point where we have access to certain technologies and like uh-huh. CGI and like effects that seem world breaking and really cool. So then we take it upon ourselves to like do too much.
Yeah.
Instead of like really playing, like they don't play up with the like the mundane and the like
at all, yeah.
the teasing and just like the droning of the other films that were like some of the There's best no parts suspense. Of that. It's not yeah. that. It's like, oh, look at this cool effect we could do, right? It does a horrible thing of showing us Toby. It shows him to be like this skeletal kind of ghastly like smoke form thing. Again, like yeah. and what I said to Kat was like, if that's what Chrissy was seeing as a child, there's no way that child is not upset immediately. Like that just seems very yeah. bizarre. There's no child who's like, yeah, that's cool, I want to be friends with that. So
oh no, there is. There's the TikToks where the like, you know, the big guy and the little oh, girl yeah, loves the little girl like the giant him. Monster guy.
That's yeah. true. I'll take that back. But I love that video too. But I mean, like if it was like standing at the foot of her bed, I promise she would have a different feeling. Right. If that's yeah. how she encountered it, like, you know, and that's it. Like we see, it's also like we have the one camera, so like when we cut away, it's just like nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I would have rather had those cameras where there's nothing. Because then you come back and it's like, ugh, he's just standing yeah. there. Like, love watching people sleep. And like, the kid was not a great actor for like, as opposed to the other ones. Like, Chrissy and Katie were pretty decent actors.
Yeah.
Robbie was a great actor. I thought he was really good at being
yeah,
weird.
I was convinced.
Wyatt, forgettable. Alex, honestly, forgettable. But, yeah, I say like I did like the teen in the second one. She was my favorite character in there. Uh-huh. But yeah, it's like it's so weird. I will say the only good part is so it tries to establish by looking at these tapes that I guess we didn't have access to in the third film. We find out what happens after the third film. So it's yeah. kind of it's both a sequel and a prequel. We learn that after the mom was killed, the kids are brought back to their house and the grandma is indoctrinating them into the coven, but there's this man who's like yeah. grooming them. And I was like, I thought this was like a woman coven. That's all we've ever seen were women. And now all of a sudden there's this creepy man like trying to teach
yeah.
these kids psychic powers. And it's like, why do they need psychic powers? And why is that something we forgot? And then we, like, I don't understand, like, it's such a blank for me how they got from being kids who learned these powers to, like, nothing, to being adults and not knowing anything or doing anything. They're yeah. so nothing. Like, it's so disconnected. It's so bizarre. So what we learn is they were groomed to, like, have these psychic powers because they had to open up this portal to connect to a kid in the future for reasons.
Uh-huh.
Because she was born the same day that Hunter was born, and then her and Hunter somehow help Toby get a human form.
Yeah. Why? I don't know. They never explain. But
right? Toby got a human form in Marked Ones, right? Is that true? Am I making
no.
that up? No, that's in
You're
this one.
You're making that up. Yeah, it's in this one. He okay. walks away off the camera. He's like glowing green skin.
But it's like, I don't like understand the long con of this. Like that doesn't add up. So it's like they learn through the tapes that these girls are being groomed. I think the only cool thing that I remember about that film is when the dad is holding Leela and they're
yeah.
watching the old films and Leela sneezes and Katie's like, bless you. Like
yeah.
when they reference things that are happening in person. Like, that was kind of cool.
That part was fun, yeah.
But that's, like, the only one that was good, because there's other, where she, like, references, like, Leela's room, or she references, like, there's two guys watching us, or whatever. Yeah. And it's just like, but why? And it's, like, weird, like, there's a weird... The girl who plays Alice in The Magicians is the neighbor, and she's, like, looking at the pool, and she's, like, he's, like, something's in the pool. And then this, like, black goop shoots at her. And it's just, like, I don't understand. It was just, like, look at the pool.
And also, like, why are these children chosen, like, actually? Like, why does this matter? Like, this is a random family. Like, this isn't even like the Featherstones that they've decided are so important for whatever reason. Like, and it's just like, what's happening that you need these specific kids?
Mm-hmm. And why was Hector from the last one, like, a full, like, he was like 18, 19 years old. And Jesse, 18, 19, was the one who was getting, like, possessed, and they had pictures of him from a baby. So, like, he had some purpose. Like, they needed something from him. So why was that happening to him at such a late age? But they need Hunter Wyatt and Leela at this young age. Why did they need Katie and Chrissy at such a young age? None of that makes any sense. Like, it's the motivations aren't motivating. It's weird. Confusing. It's so weird. And it's such a weird film. Because when we learn that, we learn, like, we don't see Katie, but they reference Katie as being their real estate agent or whatever, mm-hmm. their realtor. And she's the one who sold them this house, which turns out is a new house built on the burnt remains of
their childhood house.
But when did that happen?
They had to burn it down to give it to these people, I guess.
I totally understand demons are dramatic and they need a big show theatrics, to come out. Yeah. They love theatrics, right? They love candles and cool signs and blood and sacrifice and blah, blah, blah. But this is like, this is insanity. This is craziness that I just feel like, what demon would bother? This seems like a lot of work, and he can't be having fun anymore. So it's a mess. There's nothing really, it's very confusing. Everyone dies. Spoilers for this film, you definitely shouldn't watch.
It's so dumb. Yeah.
So silly.
18%, you said.
15,
even worse.
Yeah. And then we'll just end out just with a very brief mention of there was a new film from 2021 called Paranormal Activity, Next of Kin, which takes you out of the Featherstones, thank God. It's a different thing. I don't really know why it exists. A little girl who's looking for information about her mom because she was given up for adoption, and she finds out through 23andMe or Ancestry.com or something that she has a relative, and they're like Amish. So she goes with a team to document that, like, her journey.
Yeah.
And they hang out with these Amish people, and weird stuff is happening, but not really. It has very rare actual spooky things. There's one scene I remember where she's hiding under a bed and you see the compression and the creak as if someone's sitting on it, and she like moves the camera up and nothing's there, but that's really it. There's not a lot. There's one creepy kid that's like, she's still here, and then it becomes her mom. She's talking about her mom, but it's revealed. So spoilers for this film from 2021 again, you shouldn't watch it. I don't know why it was made. It's really like the ending, it's really bonkers, but it's revealed that the mom was still there, that she gave up the daughter for adoption because this family is not actually Amish. They're just crazy religious coven that store a demon that's in the house of Toby. Like, it's, they're in the same demon genealogy of Toby. Don't worry about it.
Don't give attention.
Of Toby. And so to contain the demon, they have to store it in a woman's body because women are stronger. And thanks, I guess. I don't really want that. And so the mom has been alive the whole time. She's just been underground in this cave housing a demon, and they're going to pass it on to her because she's the next in line. And if they don't, like, bad stuff starts happening, and it does. Like, there's, like, paintings. It's very Midsommar. It shows, like, what's going to happen if you don't get that demon together. And they don't. They get out. and they're running for their lives, and shoot, the mom is like chasing them. But also at the same time, all the people, like the family or whatever, have snapped. And a part of the like demon thing is that they just start murdering. And so they're like going purge on each other. And that was really fun. It was actually kind of fun that they were like, you just see them like dying. Like, and it's like, it's really crazy, but you just like ignore it. And then she like pulls this thing, like the main character pulls this thing where she's just like, Mom, don't you remember me? Like, she's not going to remember you for you. She's been underground. She's a monster now. But she like has a moment of weakness. And of course, she's like, great opportunity to kill you. And then they're running out. They try to get out and supposedly are fine, right? But or are they? Because the whole thing was like, if the demon is in a man, like, then it does whatever it wants. And so at the end, it ends up in one of the characters, and it's a dude. And so he's out there killing people. Which is like fine, I guess. It's really funny when they learn that they're not Amish. It's like, it's really silly, but there's nothing was spooky except for like the one guy they were hanging out with, because he always said really inappropriate things, and it was like, you need to leave. he was so weird, and I was like, why did we have him? Like, what is this? Yeah, it's super silly. I don't really. The demon's name is Asmodeus in the House of
That's Toby. A fun demon name.
That one I get. Like, it can come like Moby or something. Moby. But yeah, so that's a Paranormal Activity franchise. It's a mess. It makes no sense. There are.
Well, at least the last one doesn't loop back to the first one in any way. So yeah. That's good.
That one is really a standalone, besides the fact that the demons might be friends. Or family, they don't have any relation, which is a great gift to us. It's just, there's good things in the first one is really great. It's worth, it's 89%, I think. The third one has some really cool stuff. There's some really genuine, great scenes. And the Marked Ones was a good watch until the end, and they try to loop it back to the people. Again, you can just have it, like, Next of Kin was like the only good part of it was that it didn't have to do with the Featherstones, right? And I think that's what would have been really cool if we did that in the Marked Ones, if we felt the need to not loop Katie in there, or even in the freaking Ghost Dimension. Why did we have to do that? Just get your own story. Stop messing this one up.
It was very much just like, you keep giving us money, so we'll keep making them about this, when they could have made it different, and they just didn't. Oh, it's fine.
Yeah.
I guess.
We have too many. We didn't need any of this. I think there's still a lot of really great things, but that's kind of it.
Yeah.
So that's our franchise.
Go ahead. It was fun. The first, just like, watch the first one, the third one, and the Marked Ones, and then maybe don't anymore. Yeah. Or don't watch any of them. That's fine, too.
So that finishes out our franchise series. We're moving on in the spooky month to a new round of films, including Insidious and Conjuring and Saw. And sounds familiar. Like, these things might have something in common. Malignant. There's someone in your house. I think that's what it's called. They all have a director in common. The James Wan universe, he has several universes that he has launched in the horror world, so we're gonna cover them. Though the last one is not universes, and hopefully I think they are making another Malignant. I really hope they don't. We don't need to do that. We don't, James, you don't need to do that. We're going to talk about it in Wantober. So tune in for that. Let us know what your favorite James Wan film is, because we're getting ready to talk about all of them. Stone Unturned. Yeah, exactly. We're going to watch all of them. So all of the Saw, that's going to be a nightmare.
Honestly, they're very fun, but also, ouch.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, well, don't get married.
Don't eat your kids. Or your kids will be sacrificed as a heir to a demon time.
Or.
And then
Or they're going to be harassed by a demon to
have kids. Yeah, they're just filler. You're the filler parent. And your kids you're just in the middle.
You just get thrown down a flight of stairs. Forgotten about.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what happened. Jesus Christ.
Gabe, why are you making it mad? No, I told you the cameras are the cause.
All right. Bye.
Bye.